Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Telenor Investor Relations, I would like to welcome you all to this conference call in relation to Telenor's acquisition of Serbian mobile operator Movi63. My name is Tolle Grøterud, and with me today is Mr. Jan Edvard Sigurdsen, Head of Telenor's Central and Eastern European Operations, and the CFO, Mr. Trond Westlie. Jan Edvard Sigurdsen will go through a short presentation, followed by a Q&A session. We will stop at 2:35, and then Jan Edvard Sigurdsen will give some closing remarks. The presentation material is available on our websites, telenor.com and telenor.no. With that, I would like to hand over to Jan Edvard Sigurdsen.
Well, thank you, Tolle. Good afternoon. I'm very glad I have to interrupt your vacation today. As you know, we have been in an auction process down in Serbia, where we ended up as a winner for the auction of a company called Movi63, which is consisting of the assets, subscribers, and employees of the former company, Movtel. The purchase price was 1,530,000,000 euro. That gives an EBITDA of 2005 of 12.1, which seems to be a high figure. However, because of the 10% corporate tax and 5% dividend in Serbia, with the lower and more normal tax, with the higher tax rate, this multiple would be about 1.5 lower. The expected closing will be no later, we think, than end of September. However, we hope to close this early September. As you know, go to the next slide, the transaction rationale. As you know, over the last 10 years, a large portion of Telenor's value creation came from development of greenfield operation. However, these larger greenfields are gradually fading out as both mobile coverage and penetration increases. So, we have going forward to a greater extent than presently, we have to create value through what we call professional and cost-effective industrial operations. Such value creation will, for a number of reasons, be easier if we own companies from regional clusters with geographic proximity and where we can more easily take out the synergy during the operations. As you know, we are already present in Hungary, Ukraine, Montenegro, and Austria. So, it gives a good meaning that we now get a new operation here in Serbia. It's also a significant room for turnaround, and of course, in the future, we will also have a see if further expansion opportunities arise. As you know, we have also been able, through our global coordination process, to increase the market share in most of our operations. If you go to page five, just a comparison between the growth in the different countries, and you'll see that Serbian economy is now at a fairly good growth level, and we think that the prospects are very good regarding the further development. They have had a difficult past year, but we think they are looking forward to be a part of the European community and working very hard to improve both the economy and the system as such. If you go to page 6, you see the Serbian mobile market. It's a total population of 7.5 million in this country, with a mobile penetration of 65. Some uncertainties about the exact number, because I'm not sure that they have used the Telenor type of accounting principles. However, if the penetration is lower than expected here, that gives also, of course, a room for higher growth in the future. It's a doable here with high margins, and they will develop the telecommunication law to be consistent with the EU standard, and a new regulator are at the moment established. Mobitel was founded in 1994. We were down here in this area at that time too, but we were not able to get any license at that time. The network now cover 95% of the population, and have more than 2 million subscribers. The revenue market share is about 55%, and the subscriber market share is about 45%, as far as we can see. And that means the most attractive customers is connected to this operator. If you look at the next slide, page 8, we see the P&L as estimated, calculated by Telenor. This is not the official figures, but we have taken into account what was in this company, a lot of interested party transactions, which so we have normalized the figures. We see an EBITDA margin of 54%, with revenue of 233 and EBITDA of 125. The reason for this extremely high margin is, of course, that there have been very little market activities the last years, in 2005 and so far in 2006. The package capex in 2005 were at a normal level. In 2006 it has been very low and has not kept being at a level that we would like to see to keep at the quality of the network. The ARPU is 10.4 euro per month. That's fairly low, and we see some possibilities here. However, that's not in our business plan that we have to increase the ARPU the first period effect. As you see, the estimated number of subscribers is 2,115,000. Looking forward, we think this is a solid business case. We have some targets in 2010. Based on our experience in other markets, we think that we can be able to reach 100% mobile penetration by 2010. And our ambition is to be above 50% when it comes to market share and subscribers. We think that will be possible for us to be in such a position. We think the platform is good based on the customers already in the network and the skills we can implement in the company. In our business plan, we estimate an ARPU of around 9 euro because of the dilution of the ARPU when we take in new customers. And then we think that we'll have a slight increase in ARPU in years to come. Our ambition is also to have a fairly high EBITDA margin in this duopoly market at around 45%. We think that we have to take down the margin as we see them now. As I said, it was 53 or 54%. That has to come down when we increase our market spending. We also see that the capex will be above 20% of the three first years. It has to be some capacity and quality investments in the network, and a 3G service will also be rolled out. We have to open a 3G service after 6 months, and then we have some requirements to cover, I think it was 25, the figures there. Yeah, we have some requirements covering up after 12 months and 24 months. In the long term, we think that the capex will be below 12% that we see in most operations. When it comes to here I got the figures. Commercial service for UMTS within 6 months with 35% coverage of population and 60% coverage of the population within 36 months. When it comes to implications to Telenor's financials on page 10, this will marginally increase the EBITDA margin. And the net debt will ratio to EBITDA will move from 1.3 to 1.7. That means also, and Trond Vestli is here, could later on probably also give some reflections on if the financial expenses here could be impact rating downgrade from Standard & Poor's. So, finalizing this, we think this is a very attractive operations for us in a two-player market in this cluster where we are already present, where we understand and know the markets and the conditions. We will work very hard to take out synergies between the companies in this area. However, we have not pointed out or established any figures regarding this yet. And it's also a significant scope for the turnaround inside this company based on the experience we have in Telenor from our international operations. And thank you, then we can open for questions.
If you wish to ask a question, please press star key followed by 1. If you decide to withdraw your question, press star key 2. First question, Mr. James Ruiz from Citigroup. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, guys. I've got two questions, if I can. The first is on the sort of regional, what your view is on sort of this region in terms of your portfolio. I noticed with interest that you put Austria on one of your slides as being part of the region. Do you think your attitude towards one has changed as a result of this deal? My second question is, can you give us the capital employed number, the amount of money that's actually been invested in the network to date, so that we can try and work out what the returns you're making are? Thanks very much.
When it comes to the regional part of it, as you know, we have had Telenor for the last years kind of up or out strategy. So far, we haven't seen the possibility to increase our ownership in one in Austria. And to be very open on that, it's more likely that one will be sold than acquired by them. when it comes to capital employed, Paula, could you, or Svetter Becker, could you give any comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to give a specific number for that because of history of the company. So I don't think we are able to provide a specific number for that.
But this is Tom Lesley here. The capital employed for Telenor is going to be the acquisition price of 1.5 billion euros. And going forward, the business case is going to be cash positive as a result of that. So from that on, the capital employed on our side is definitely going to be looked at from in our evaluation on the investment is going to be on the 1.5 billion going forward.
Also, it's important to say that we believe the network is the best in the region. It has 90% coverage, so we believe the network is very good.
Very clear. Thank you.
Next, Mr. Thiago, Redburn Partners. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi. It's Laurent Thiago from Redburn in London. I would like to know if you had any guarantee from the Serbian government regarding the entrance of a third player. And I would also like to know what is the current situation with regard to Wi-Fi or WiMAX licenses in Serbia. Thank you.
Yes, when it comes to the entrance of competitors, I think that the Serbian authorities has the right after 6 months of the closing to handle the license at the price of 20% of the acquisition or at least 320 million euro. So that means that the price then would be 320 million. We haven't so far in our considerations we can see that that will be a good business case to go in with such amount for a third license in a high penetrated market as Serbia.
Okay.
When it comes to the current situation, Wi-Fi, I don't have much information on that at the moment, so I'm not able to answer the question.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Jimenez from Morgan Stanley. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you. Good morning. Just a quick question on your balance sheet. Now, with the current debt level, a possible reaction from the rating agencies, just a question of future possible M&A scenarios. Would you consider to be more likely the use of alternative means other than debt to fund transactions going forward, possibly in Ukraine, Russia, if it comes to the case? Thank you very much.
When it comes to the balance sheet situations, is that we see, as we've been saying on the Capital Markets Day and also later, that yes, we do see a possibility of a possible downgrade here, at least from one of the rating agencies in this regard. However, we do think that the cash flow in Telenor is going to be at the single A level in a fairly short period of time. So we actually maintain our financial strategy and maintain single A target going forward, even though this might happen relative to a possible downgrade on at least one of the rating agencies. Going forward, when it comes to the other possible transactions, we have to look at that when that happens. We cannot sort of speculate in transactions in Russia, Ukraine relative to this circumstance. This is a very uncertain situation, and the outcome is also uncertain. So we haven't focused on that in this regard. We want to continue to follow the balance sheet and the capacity of the balance sheet itself going forward and handle the situation in Russia and Ukraine.
Thank you very much.
Next, Mr. Patrick Bertens.
Yeah, hi, it's Maurice Patrick from Bertens. Just one question, really. You talk, you've got a business doing 53% EBITDA margins. You've talked about it going to 45% in 2010, and you talked about significant synergies, which you can see in the business, which you haven't quantified. Could you kind of help us understand how that kind of works?
Yes, what I said is that at the moment, the EBITDA margin is 53%, and that's the main reason for that high margin at the moment is that is no marketing activities, low sales, and that so we have no costs on that side, and that means that the margins really increase in such a under such circumstances. Now we have to put pressure on the sales and marketing, and that will take down the margin substantially. We feel that 45% is a fairly high ambition in the long term. So our business is based on that. However, are we able to keep a higher margin in the future? Of course, we will do that. I mean, taking out synergies and lowering the cost and doing all things. But we have, I think, it's a more realistic view on what we can do in this country for the years to come. But we have also seen in some of our operations that, in fact, the margin is better than we expected, and it is of course work to keep it high.
I mean, just a quick follow-up. In terms of, I guess, a better understanding of the market itself, could you give an indication of the current levels of subsidies and perhaps termination rates in the market?
Certificate, do you have them? I haven't.
The interconnection fee is 1.85 euros. The SAC level is euro 1.85 euro cents. The SAC level is very very low.
So on the mobile termination rate, did you say it's 1.85
euro cents? Euro cents, yeah.
1.85. Yes.
Okay,
thank you.
Next, Mr. Kenny, Deutsche Bank, London. Go with this.
Hello, good afternoon, gentlemen. I just had two questions. The first one is, again, have you, as part of this process, been talking to the regulator in order to change the current mobile termination rate? And clearly, is there any potential positive margin developments arising from that? And then the second one is with regards to penetration. According to Telenor, what was penetration in the market in 2004? And what are you expecting to increase the rate of penetration growth in the short term? Thank you very much.
But when it comes to the interconnect rates here, we know that at the moment it's balanced termination fees between the fixed and the mobile networks. While we in Europe mostly see a higher termination fee in the mobile network, we haven't calculated for this in our business plan. However, we would like, and we are talking to the regulator that they should normalize their prices and the way they regulate to closer to EU standards. So that could be an upside for us, yes. When it comes to penetration in 2004, I'm also sorry, I don't have the figures, but in 2005 we estimated 65%, and we think that it should be possible to increase the penetration to 100% in 2010.
Yeah, the penetration was estimated around 46% in by the end of 2004.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Next, Mr. Hodgley, Lehman Brothers. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm Hugh Hogley from Lehman Brothers. I wondered if you could just give us a little bit of background about what the key competitor has been doing in the market. You said that the asset you've bought hasn't really been investing in marketing over the last year or so. and on some of the data you provided at the Capital Markets Day, the implication is that the main market competitor has had better momentum. And secondly, just a very simple question, as we're running the numbers in our models, when should we assume consolidation? The 1st of September, maybe? Thank you.
Yeah, when it comes to the market development in the market share, as far as I understand from the history here, the previous market share for Motel was about 55%. And now it's the opposite. Now it's the incumbent that has a 55% market share, and we have then 45% market share when it comes to the number of subscribers. However, we have in our operations a higher revenue market share, and that still is 55%. What was the next question?
Well, coming to the consolidation issue, the closing process, we expect it to be during the during September. It's of course a bit uncertainty, but to close it, you can probably estimate either September or October is a fair estimate.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Pierce, JP Morgan. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is actually John Pearson, Resma Tribal speaking. Maybe some confusion of the phone with there. I was just very interested that you mentioned this, that financial expenses could be impacted by rating downgrade, and spoke a few moments ago about that. Have you yet discussed this acquisition with the credit rating agencies? Is one question. And secondly, I'd be very interested to hear what your plans are for financing this acquisition. Thanks.
Well, the question is that yes, the rating agencies have been informed, but they haven't been fully informed in all the details yet, but they're still updating on that. But yes, they have been informed about the possibilities and also about some of the financial, most of the financial implications. We have not gotten any feedback, and there has been no discussions other than the walkway information that we've given them. Relating to and your other question,
or? I'd be very interested to know how are you going to finance this acquisition in the short and long term?
We estimate to finance this on the medium term credit facility that's going to be placed in the market, and we see the maturity for that for approximately 3 years.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Mrs. Levinson, JP Morgan. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, actually. It's Raj Smith from JP Morgan. Couple of questions. First of all, in the press release, you mentioned there's a 10-year license period. And I was just wondering, what are the details in terms of when you come to renew at the end of the 10-year, what kind of price would you be expected to pay? And secondly, I was just trying to contrast your methodology for the acquisitions. What put you off bidding for Townsend? And what encouraged you to be one of the very few bidders going for maybe 63?
Well, when it comes to the license, that's right, it's a 10-year license for operating mobile services in all the spectrums, suitable for GSM and UMTS. And what it said is that the license will automatically be renewed for another 10 years subject to meeting standard license requirements. So I think that requirements will be the same as you see in most other European countries. But I can't give you an exact figure on that. When it comes to why we went for this acquisition, well, we have, as you know, prioritized greenfields in emerging markets so far, but we have also been looking at possibilities of clustering our operations and in the future, as I said, be better when it comes to operational excellence and more cost-efficient operations. And we think that Serbia was a good fit regarding that. The Telesim license 1 year ago almost was not suitable at that time, and it was the price would be too tough for high for us at the moment.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Moscow, Arendt, go with
this. Yeah, I just two questions. You haven't sort of talked about accretion at all. Can you just give us an idea of what you think the likely accretion is on this deal on a sort of short and mid-term horizon? And secondly, just on the possibility of a downgrade, can you quantify what your extra interest costs would be if you were to be downgraded or not by the ratings agency? Thanks very much.
Well, when it comes to the question, we haven't said anything about any other countries. We will, of course, look at the opportunities in the region, but nothing will be decided, and everything depends, of course, on what will be available at what price. but could be of interest if it was the right move to do for us. We will, of course, consider that.
I mean, sorry, I'm maybe not being clear, but the accretion impact on your earnings, you know, if you look at the cost of funding this deal against the income you'll be bringing in, you know, I guess you've done those calculations. Could you give us an idea of what you think the accretion or decretion is?
It's going to be marginal.
It's
a marginal impact, both on the EBITDA, basically on the margins, on the percentage wise, on the EBITDA level, as well as the EPS. EPS is going to be slight dilution, depending on whether you calculate the depreciation of excess value or not into that. If you take the excess value out, the depreciation of excess value out of the equation, it's going to be a slight decrease.
Slight decrease, basically.
Yeah, basically, if you look at the book numbers.
Okay, all right, thanks.
When it comes to the pricing of financing costs relative to a possible downgrade, it's not going to be momentarily, but it's going to take over time, and the annual effect, when it takes the full effect of A-minus to triple B plus, is probably going to be around 250 million Norwegian kroners a year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Next, Mr. Zukolo, Heiser, go with this.
Yes, hello. I would like to know about the situation in Kosovo, where Mobi 63 also has some sites, and there are bigger regulatory issues there. What is your approach to this matter? And the second question would be the trade unions in Serbia, they are quite worried about anyone buying Mobi 63. What are your plans? And are you going to lay off staff or increase staff? What are your plans in regard to the trade union interests?
Well, when it comes to Kosovo, we are aware of that there are some assets in that region. However, we can't comment on that now. We will, of course, discuss it with the relevant authorities, but it's too early to do any speculations. When it comes to the employees of the company, we will, of course, handle the employees of this company as we normally do as a Telenor standard. We can't give any guarantee, however we want to develop our employees as we do in other companies. And that will be the case. We will have to take it from there.
Do you know how many employees there are?
In my papers, it's about
950 employees.
Pardon? 950
employees.
But you can't say if that's going to increase or decrease generally.
Pardon?
Can you give a general direction? Say, will it be more or less employees?
No, we can't do that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, then I think we have room for one more question.
Next, Mr. Dutton, New Street, go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Sumit at New Street. Just to follow up on the last question, can I just clarify that this license doesn't, or rather the operator doesn't have a license which covers the territory of Kosovo? And then secondly, could you just give me an understanding of where you see the underlying population developing within Serbia over the next few years, please? Thanks.
Well, Well, I can confirm anything when it comes to Kosovo. It's very difficult to comment on that. But, as I said, we will talk to the relevant authorities. When it comes to the population of Serbia, I'm not sure what you're referring to. Is the population will increase or decrease or whatever?
Yeah, essentially, I just wondered if you see there being population growth going forward, and is that inherent in your estimates for out to 2010?
Yeah, but that's, I'm not sure what, I mean, this will be a normal basic calculation, so I'm not sure it's...
In our estimates, it's a stable.
Stable? Yeah, that's right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, do you like to give some concluding remarks, Jan Elak?
Well, I think you have been through most of it. However, I think, as I said before, Serbia is a great opportunity for Telenor. We have been in this region for 10 years, and now, after acquiring Serbia, we have expanded a number of operations here and can see a better cluster effect in the future. Make more efficient operations, and this is very attractive for us because of the two-player market, and it's also a significant scope for the turnaround. So we think this will be in the future a good value creation for our shareholders too. So thank you for your attention.